saying good morning, church?
Good morning.
As you're making your way to your seats today, turn to somebody and say, I am glad,
that
you are here. Now look at somebody else and say, God loves you.
And
there's nothing you can do about it. Now give yourself a nice round of applause for getting here today, and you may be seated. Thank you so much for making your way to worship here with us today. We are really pleased and honored to have all of you in worship with us. This morning I have just a couple of announcements for the good of the community. First and foremost, our ushers are going to be coming down here in a minute. They're going to be passing out our Ritual of Friendship pad. That Ritual of Friendship pad is your ability to record your attendance with us today. It starts here in the center aisle and it'll get passed to the end. And you, when you get to the end, would you pass it back to the middle? And as it comes back across, in the spirit of Christian nosiness, take a look and see who's seated with you today, okay? And greet somebody by name. I have a couple announcements for the good of the community. Hey, we are in the middle of March Madness for Mission around here, right? Yay, March Madness for Mission. Where's our March Madness for Mission commissioner? This is Brendan Murray. Last Sunday, he stood up here and said, if you donated $5, you could fill out a bracket, and then all the proceeds would go to cash. How many brackets did you get filled up?
We have 60 brackets.
60 brackets? So how much money did you raise for Mission?
I haven't counted the exact amount, to be honest, but I think it's somewhere around $200.
$200, his first Mission. So here comes the big thing that you're all waiting for. You want to know who's in first place at this point.
Currently, we have a two-way tie for first. Josh Wright.
Josh
is in first.
Wright!
And Matt DeVay is also in first. Sorry if I pronounced your last name.
So Matt and Josh, where am I? How am I doing?
Oh, you're. I don't think you want to know.
No. I think I was tied for 42nd.
Something like that,
yeah. Good.
Yep.
Did you pick Wisconsin to upset Villanova?
No, I had Villanova winning it all.
Yeah, so you're in trouble.
I'm kind of done.
I think Bridget's the only person that picked Wisconsin to beat Villanova.
Shout out to Bridget for actually being the only person to pick that.
And then Bridget picked Wisconsin to win the whole thing, so she's not doing good either. Hey, would you guys thank Brendan for doing that for us? It's really a great gift. All right, I have just a couple of announcements for the good of the community, some things I want you to know about that are happening in the life of the church. First and foremost, next Saturday, there's two events I want you to be aware of. Saturday evening, we have a concert that's happening right here in our sanctuary. It's called The Prodigal Son, and it's put on by the Michigan Concert Chorale. It's one of the area's premier singing choirs, and so I want you to come back here next Saturday at 7 o'clock in order to enjoy that worship experience. It's a free concert. Welcome to people of all ages. And the only thing that we'll do is we'll do a goodwill offering that goes to support kids going to camp. So come and hear a great music selection. And be right on par with what you heard last Sunday. Wasn't the Rudder Requiem pretty awesome? Let's have a hand up for our team. Thank you so much. Also next Saturday, we'll be screening The War Room. It's about the power of personal prayer. It goes from 11 to 2 o'clock. And it's happening right here in our sanctuary. We'll screen the movie, and then there'll be a discussion about how you can take what we learned in that movie and apply it to your own life and be a part of creating a very personal prayer ministry. Also, make sure that you're signing up for our Lenten dinner on April the 2nd. Our bishop will be with us. It's a great opportunity to meet him, hear a word of encouragement, and have a great meal here together. Part of that menu will include some of Royal Oak First Famous Fish Fry that I heard about it long before I got here. It was actually one of the first things I ever heard before I even met you. I stopped over at Jimmy's to check you out. You know, I was kind of coming around and checking it out, and I introduced myself to a woman that teaches at OCC, and she goes, you know they have the best fish fries in town. So that's what I knew about you before I knew anything about you. So come and be a part of that event. And finally, I want to let you know how we're doing on our 1,500 blessings for Lenten season. We're collecting items in order to support our brothers and sisters down at the Brightmoor Free Store. Brightmoor is one of the more economically stretched neighborhoods in the Detroit area on the far west side. In the middle of it is a free store that gives out gently used clothing and household items to people who shop there during the week and over the weekend. I asked you to get 500 pairs of underwear, 500 500 hygiene items and 500 children's clothing as of this Friday. Here's where we are. We are at 430 pairs of underwear, 690 hygiene items, and 1,450 pieces of children's clothing. Yay! Right? So next Sunday is Underwear Sunday here at Royal Oak First. You will not be allowed in unless you bring a clean pair of underwear, alright? So I'll be standing at the door in order to collect that. The only other thing on personal hygiene items, that way if you have a chance to pick up some feminine hygiene products, that is the one item that we didn't get a lot of, and it's the one item that I know they need a lot. It's just, frankly, it's one of those things people don't think to collect. So if you would make sure to bring that in, that would be wonderful too. Those are all the announcements I have for the good of the community today. Welcome to worship, and let us continue with our youth choir. Kids that want to come up and spend a little time with Pastor Jeff to come on down?
Yeah!
If I only get Kaya every week, it's pretty good to me. Come on down. guys to help me with something this morning, okay? What I want to do is I want to kind of get a sense of what all the things are that we are thankful for, okay? So what are some of the things that you are thankful for today? What would you tell me? What are the things that you're thankful for? Yeah, what are you thankful for?
Family.
Your bed, amen. Your friends. What are you thankful for? Your family. How about you?
Us,
all of us here, yeah. Food, amen. Give me five on that, bro. Chris, your house, your toys. Kaya, what are you thankful for?
Everything.
You can't beat that. Uh-huh. Shelter. Church. You know, some days when I am having a tough day, you ever have a tough day? What makes for a tough day in your life?
That I
usually don't get hurt sometimes, right? Because you're out playing and having a good time and you skin your knee or bump your elbow or something like that. When your sister fights with you, yeah, that makes a tough day, doesn't it? Is your sister here today? All right, let's pray for her. So sometimes we fight. We have tough days. And when I have tough days, what I need to remember is all of the things that I'm thankful for. In fact, I try to make a list in my head and in my heart every night before I go to bed of all of the things that I'm thankful for. And tonight, when I go to bed, you know what I'm going to be thankful for? You. And 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 the two of you. I'm even going to be thankful for Miss Danielle. I'm going to be especially thankful for Miss Danielle. So, tonight, when you go to bed, no matter how hard your day is sometimes, remember what you have to be thankful for. And when you realize that, you're going to be all good. Kaya, does it sound like we're done? It does, yes. All right. Thanks, honey. I'm thankful for that.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You said one love, one life, one need. But we're not the same. Well, we carry each other. We carry each other. Did I disappoint you? Leave a bad taste in your mouth. Never had love. You want me to go without, but it's too late tonight to drag the past out into the light. We're one, but same. Well, we carry each other. We carry each other. Have you come here for forgiveness? Have you come to raise the dead? Have you come here to play Jesus to the lepers in your head? Did I ask too much? More than a lot, you know you. Giving me nothing now, it's all I got. We're one, but we're not the same. Well, we hurt each other and we'll do it again. You said love is a temple, love a higher law. Love is a temple, love a higher law. You ask me to enter, but then you make me crawl, and I can't be holding on to what you got when all you've got is hurt. One love, one blood, one life. You gotta do what you should. One life with each other. Sisters and brothers.
This is Stone on the Tide, Caleb Williams on the Shakers. We are one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other. I don't know if there's a better understanding of church than that. We are one, but we're not the same. And the joy of community is we get to carry each other. That becomes clear when we welcome new people into the life of the church, like we are here this whole weekend. By the time this weekend's out, we'll have welcomed 21 new members into the life of the church this weekend. People who are saying, hey, I want to be part of this one. And I get to be myself. And you've carried me to this place, and now I want to help carry others. So without any further ado, I want to just invite anyone and everyone that's joining the church here today to just come on up here with me. So come on down. Let's welcome these new members. Come on, Adriani. It's you. Come on. You're coming on up. All these folks, welcome them. Peggy's rejoining the church today. After her 53rd year, she's up here to help us welcome new people. Here's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to pass this microphone down the line. All I want you to do is just tell us your name and tell us why you like what God's doing here at Royal Oak First. What is it that's drawing you to this place?
If I want to go first.
You get to go first. It's okay.
I'm Gigi Harris, and I am drawn here by the welcoming of congregation and the feeling I get when I'm here. I feel, I don't want to say invincible, but strong.
Crazy.
Strong.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Blair Moreland. I am here, my mom is Myra, and Jeff, but also I love the welcoming feeling and the diversity of this church.
Welcome.
My name is Laura Potter. I'm joining the church because of what this church is doing for the community, not just for itself.
My name is Juan Abdel. I'm joining the church because I like the people here, and my cousins are here, and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
My name is Jackie Bell, and the reason why I'm here, I like the way that everybody reaches out and someone's heard or needs stuff, and they're always there for them. Thank you.
My name is Peggy Gill. I've been here my whole life.
Thank you.
My name is Megan Jones, and I like this church because I feel at home, and I have three little boys that I'd like to raise in a community that makes us feel like that.
Who's the little one with you there?
This is Spencer.
Welcome, Spencer.
My name is Betty Roth. These are my children. This is my great-great, and this is my lovely great-granddaughter, whatever. I'm not so thankful for this church. I love Jeff, and I followed him from Birmingham, and I love the way this church is so friendly.
I'm Liz Sheridan. This is my mom. We're all related here. And I love the message that I hear every week.
I'm Bob Sheridan, and I'm here because the message that Jeff delivers every Sunday, and glad to have a home and get my battery recharged every Sunday to go out in the world and start my week.
Hi, I'm Adriana Marino, and I echo what everybody here said. This is the first time I've joined a church as an adult. It's a little scary, not because of you all. You guys have been the most warm, welcoming people. And if you see me cry every weekend, that's because Jeff and Mira's message, and Caleb as well, is just touching my heart and my soul. So I'm excited to be here.
My wife says I've been making women cry for a lot of years. Brothers and sisters, we welcome you here. This is home. We are one. We don't have to be the same. We get to carry each other. And so I'm going to ask you five simple questions. The answer to them all is I will. And it just is a moment for you to signify and solidify the relationship that God has begun in us. So I ask you, as you stand here in the presence of God, surrounded by this, your church family and friends, will you support this church with your presence? Will you be here when you can be here? Because your being here makes a difference, not just to you, but to all of us. Will you support this church with your presence? If so, say we will. Will you support this church with your prayers? Will you pray for it? Will you pray for its pastors, for its leaders? Will you pray for our sick and for our shut-in? Will you pray for our mission and our ministry? But most importantly, will you put yourself on a path of spiritual growth so that your prayers aren't just words, but are reflected in the way that you live? Will you support this church with your prayers? If so, say we will. Will you support this church with your gifts? Will you make an investment? Will you take some of the financial resources God has given to you, will you give them back to this place so they can be multiplied and get out of here and feed the poor and clothe the naked and proclaim good news to the brokenhearted? Will you support this church with your finances? If so, say I will. Will you support this church with your service? Will you lend your hands and your heart? Will you put your feet moving so that you can help be the visible sign of God's love in this world? Will you support this church with your service? If so, say I will. And will you support this church with your witness? Which means, will you carry the message from here, like Bob said, out into Monday? So that when you go into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, people look at you and go, man, whatever they're drinking, I want to have a cup of that. Will you live your life in such a way that others would want to know the hope that you find? Will you support this church with your witness? If so, say we will. Now, brothers and sisters of Royal Oak, first I ask you, will you support these new people in our midst with your presence, with your prayers, with your gifts, with your service, and with your witness? If so, say we will. Well, I don't see any reason why we can't welcome them in, huh? Hey, that's right. Our tradition here at Royal Oak First is in moments like this we lay on hands as a sign of commissioning and the transfer of grace. So I invite you, if you're so called, to just come on up and join us as we lay hands on these, our new members. Come on and join us here in this circle of blessing. Stand by your baby. Yeah. Thank you. friends, take a look around. This is your church family. We are one. You are loved. You are welcome. Let us be in prayer. Gracious and loving God, I just simply ask now that you pour your Spirit out upon these new brothers and sisters in our midst, God, and let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are welcome here. That they can bring their full self here. It doesn't matter where they've been or what they've been through. It doesn't matter who they are or who they love. We are just grateful that each and every one of them has found a spot here in this community, and we want them to be unleashed to spread your love around this world. God, fill them right now with joy that passes all understanding, that they have a place to grow and a place to serve. Place to be caught up in something much bigger than ourselves. Let them leave this place today without a shadow of a doubt that they are loved, they are accepted, and that there is nothing that they can do about that. God, we give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. One more time, would you welcome our newest members into the Lord? In that spirit, we just move right into an offering, a time of offering today. I want to invite Dolores Greer to come on up here and stand with me here for a minute. You want to know if your offerings make a difference? For the last 20 years, this lady has been on the front lines of our Hungry Bag Lunch program, our lunch program. She feeds about 8,000 to 9,000 people a year through our Bag Lunch program. Really bad at math, but I think, how many is that over 20 years? Is that 180,000 meals? I'm really bad at math. It's a lot. It's a lot of meals. Your gifts and your offerings make a difference. I've been so inspired by Dolores' work and the work of our bag lunch program that I tried something online and it worked. I designed a little t-shirt, and the t-shirt said, God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. And lo and behold, I sold about 170 of them. Right? And all of the proceeds from that go to support our bag lunch program. So Dolores, I am just pleased to support you on our behalf with a check for $1,113.42 in order to stretch the dollar and feed those hungry people. Dolores, thank you for making a difference in the life of our people and the life of our church and making God's love visible. Yeah. Thank you.
find that quiet place. Let's enter into a time of prayer with this song.
Pictures of a young man with a smile that could light up the world. That young man's name was Dominic Geske. And for the past 3 months, this has been Dominic's church home. He and his mother, Mary, came to church for the first time in January. They came to one of our As We Gather services. Dominic is one of a young man who has special needs. He lived with autism and some medical conditions, and his family had searched for years to find a church that would welcome them with all of the uniqueness that Dominic brings into this world. So they figured they'd try a Thursday because the crowd wouldn't be very big, and if he responded in the way that he sometimes responds, that they could just get out and nobody would know. But guess what? You welcome him and you let him be him. And so they didn't only just come back on that Thursday, they try a Saturday. And so for about 2 months they came on Saturday. And Dominic fit right in. And he made his way in the life of this church. He'd raise his hand and he'd ask for prayer. You know who he prayed for every week? He prayed for Jesus. He wanted us to pray for Jesus. And I'm always busy praying that Jesus will fix me. And he's like, Jesus, I want to help you. This young man got it. And the Saturday afternoon crowd fell in love with him. Last Sunday, Dominic brought his whole family to church. 9 o'clock. Mother, father, two sisters, sit it out here. Remember last Sunday I had you write down on a piece of paper something you wanted to give to God? Well, Dominic didn't want to be left out of that, so he took his piece of paper and he scribbled something on it, but by the time he got done with it, the plates had already passed by. So Dominic chased Jeff and Lori Vickers out into the narthex to make sure that he got his card. And nobody shushed him or hushed him or raised an eyebrow to him or looked weird at his parents for allowing their young man to participate fully in worship. On my way out, Dominic gave me a high five. We were down in the fellowship hall, and he had a thing for old ladies. And so if you were in, I'm sorry, Kay, that you don't remember that. For older women, is that better? Senior women, elders? Okay, I'm working on it. He walked around last week, and if you're one of our senior women down there, he poured you a cup of coffee, whether you wanted it or not. And then the miracle of miracles happened. You see, we've been inviting Dominic to come to youth group for about a month, saying, hey, you can come. And Mary was like, well, I just don't know. We've tried it before, and it hasn't worked. But something caught them last week, and they brought Dominic to youth group for the first time, and Bridget came home saying, it worked. Dominic was there. And he got to be himself. He brought all of his matchbox cars, and sometimes he was involved in the group, and sometimes he was on the edge of the group, but he was a part of the group, and that's all that mattered. And we left there feeling like, gosh, Dominic's going to be with us for a long time. And then Monday afternoon, I got the call. that this young man who was so full of life just the day before had gone downstairs after school to play video games, and suddenly his mom realized that it was just too quiet. And she called his name and nobody answered back, and she went down to find that that little man whose heart was just too big for his body had simply given out. The tragedy is he left us too soon. The miracle is that his last day was surrounded by a community that said, "You're one of us, buddy. And we thank you for being here among us." Royal Oak First, thank you for getting it. Thank you for being a place that says when all means all, we mean it. Thank you for being a no-hush and a no-shush church. So I want to invite you, if you're able, to come back at 1:30 today. We're going to celebrate Dominic's life, and I have a feeling this place is going to be full, and it's going to be packed, and there's going to be a community of people who are wondering, can my kid come to this church too? So come and show them that they can. Because the power of inclusion saves lives. We have a ministry here that we're starting called Ben's Ministry, and it's for all special needs kids so that they have somebody, a spirit friend, who will be with them all Sunday so that no one hushes them or no one shushes them, and their parents can maybe sit and enjoy worship without the stress and worry that their special needs kid will be a distraction. The only job you got to do that week is love a kid and let them take you on a tour. If they don't want to stay confined, you just walk around this building for that hour and you just enjoy all the adventures that they will take you on. When you leave here today and you go down to the fellowship hall, would you sign up to become a part of Ben's ministry? Become a spirit friend here in the life of our church so we can train you to do that? Brothers and sisters, that's what we're praying for and what we're praying about today. And as Deacon Caleb leads us into this time of prayer, just know that we are in the midst of something miraculous. And it took a 15-year-old kid to remind us that.
We believe around here that we can teach one another. Obviously. Yeah. And what we can learn from each other is in our diversity. If we all do things the same way, there's nothing we can learn. And one of the things that we're exploring this season is ways that we pray. So you've tried out our breath prayer, and maybe you tried out the labyrinth that was here during the week. There are all kinds of ways that you'll hear about, but I know that as diverse as we are in prayer, we are that diverse in our bodies. And that what our bodies do in prayer says something about our relationship with God. So I know that there are folks among us who are, like me, trained at a young age to say your prayers at night, down on your knees, next to the bed, with your hands folded. And what this says is it says, God, I am not as important as you are. My body says, this is an ancient sign that says, I am your servant. It's not about me being the boss, it's about you. But maybe you've noticed some folks around here who also came out of a charismatic or Pentecostal tradition, holding a hand up. Maybe two. I can't do it with the microphone. That's right. I'm with you, Trish. Because this, to me, says, God, I'm open for what you're doing. It says, pour into me, I am vulnerable. I don't know, try this out. It's a little scary, right? You're a little bit exposed in that moment. It's saying, God, you're doing something. I'm trusting you right here. But it's also a chance to say, I see something going on, and I want to draw attention to it. God is moving right there. Do you all see it? And one of my favorite postures is to have my hands open. Because, I don't know, sometimes a little scared to do this. I just need to be relaxed to say, God, I'm open here. I don't need to be drawing too much to myself, but I want to be ready for you to pour into this place. I want to be open for whatever it is you are setting in my hands, or whatever it is you want to take off of my palate. Please. There are so many ways you can hold your hands, hold your body. Maybe you need to stand up. Maybe you're someone who says, I can't be seated and so chill with my God. I got to be standing up and say, God, you are special. I need to stand in your presence. Or maybe you grew up in a place like I worked for a few years in an Episcopal church. Boy, that power of kneeling, tell you what, it says something. Maybe if you need to get out in the aisleway and you need to lie down on your face, you do it. If you need to dance around and spin and have joy that says, God, you are moving in this place in ways that are not dignified, you do it. What I invite you right now is to find one way of praying. I want you to get in that position. And I'm going to say a little prayer with you. I want you to see how it changes your own experience of that prayer. Go ahead and find that place. Creating God, you made us beautiful and diverse, shaped from the earth and filled with the breath of life. We offer you everything that we are, our joys, our grief, our fears, and our delight. Fill us again with your Spirit. Remold us and put us to use in this world that it too might be remade in your image. Amen. This is a way we sing the Lord's Prayer that you don't have to have the music in front of you, so repeat after me.
Our Father, in heaven.
Our scripture this morning is from Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already completely know. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. Where could I go to get away from your Spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? I went up to heaven. If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping only to rest on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me. Even in the darkness, it isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give you thanks that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. If your eye saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written that what was being formed from me before any one of them had happened, God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. The total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber the grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you. If only, God, you would kill the wicked. If only murderers would get away from me. The people who talk about you, but only for wicked schemes. The people who are your enemies, who use your name as if it were of no significance. Don't I hate everyone who hates you? Don't I despise those who attack you? Yes, I hate them, through and through. They've become my enemies too. Examine me, God. Look at my heart. Put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look to see if there is any idolatrous way in me. Then lead me on the eternal path.
I make this confession to you. I had this thing that happened to me a lot in my 20s, especially when I was in college, and it seemed to happen every Saturday morning. I'd wake up and I just didn't quite feel myself on Saturday mornings. I was just a little tired, couldn't quite get it together, and I tried to figure out what was wrong every Saturday morning. Then I tried to figure out what I had done Friday night. You see, sometimes the excesses of the day before affected the next morning. I think they call that a hangover. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, people. You know? Right? That somehow the excesses of the night before affected the next day. I just wasn't myself. And sometimes I lost the whole day. Maybe even 2 days. Because of what had happened the night before. The excesses of one day affected the days that would follow. And there's only one way to get through that when you were in your 20s, and that was just to kind of sleep it off. And trust that maybe eventually you'd learn that the excesses of one day weren't worth what would it cost you on the next. And so, sure, I don't have too many physical hangovers anymore. But I still have way too many emotional ones sometimes. Were the excesses of one day, the excess anger, the excess frustration, the excess jealousy, the excess disappointment, the excess fear of one day affects the next. And some days I wake up with that excess of emotion from the day before and I'm simply not myself, and I might as well be that 20-year-old college student again who simply wants to just sleep it off. But the thing about emotional hangovers is, right, they sometimes don't just affect us for one day, they can affect us for a whole week, sometimes a whole month. sometimes a whole year, maybe sometimes a whole life. So how do we find our way to do something about these spiritual hangovers? I look to my friends in the 12-step program a lot, because these brothers and sisters who have walked the path of recovery through 12 steps, who have found spiritual life after addiction, man, I want to know what they know. When their life used to be defined or captured by one thing that they thought they would never get freedom in, and then suddenly they're able to walk and they don't have the effects of all of that baggage anymore, I want to know what they know. And so I sit down and I say, how do you do it? How did you find it? They said, we walked a path of recovery, step by step. And as they describe it to me, it sounds an awful lot like a discipleship 101 class. We learned to admit that we were in over our head. We learned to confess all of the garbage that was going on in our life. We learned to trust community to help us get through it. We learned to say we're sorry and then offer amends. My goodness, it sounded just like a reading of the Sermon on the Mount. And I realized, maybe, just maybe, that our brothers and sisters who walk the 12-step program in the basements of our church have discovered the miracle of the faith in ways that some of us who sit in the sanctuary have yet to learn. They told me about their 10th step of this 12-step journey. And it's in telling me about that I discovered that they had figured out a tool that would help them get over this spiritual hangover, that would give them something that they could do the next day. The 10th step said that I did a daily inventory. And when I discovered I needed to make an amends, I did it immediately. And the light bulb went off. It sounded an awful lot like something I learned in a church history class. From a guy by the name of Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. In his order, he had his monks and brothers and priests, they did something every day they called the examine, where every day they would take an inventory of how the day went, and they would find those places in their life that didn't go quite the way they wanted it to, and then they would ask God to do something. Sounded an awful lot like the 10th step. It sounded an awful lot like the psalm we heard read today. Thank you, Kay, for reading all 58 verses of that psalm. I really appreciated it. Did you catch that? The first 18 verses sounded like church, right? God, I love you. God, you are perfect. God, you know when I'm awake. And God, you know when I'm asleep. And you are there when I'm having good times. And you're there when I'm having bad times. God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You know me through and through. And God, I just love you. And if it was just there at the end of those 18 verses, we'd be like, yes, that's the kind of life I want. And then it gets to verse 19 that says, so God, you are so good. So why don't you just kill all the jerks that are ruining my life? Did you hear that in there, right? It's like three whole verses of like, everything's perfect except for them. Those jerks are ruining everything, God, so why don't you just do something about them? I hate them. The NRSV says, I hate them with a perfect hatred. Ooh, that's a good line. And we all cringe a little bit because we're not sure we like that. But here's the deal, brothers and sisters. You want to know why Scripture is true? Because that's true. Because that lives and resides in each and every one of us. And I bet if we were pushed here today, you could identify the them in your life right now. That would just be a whole lot easier if God would just deal with them. Maybe it's that coworker who drives you crazy. God, would you just do something about them? Maybe it's your boss, who everybody knows is an idiot. And if they just turned the company over to you, everything would just be fine. Who is the them in your life? Maybe the them in your life is your neighbor. The one who can't ever figure out how to mow their lawn or shovel their snow. If they could just get out of the neighborhood, maybe it would all be better. Or maybe you're like us and you're like, you're the neighbor who doesn't mow their lawn or shovel their snow, and you're like, you just got rid of the guy who mows his lawn at like midnight. You're like, dude, the grass is going to be fine tomorrow. Dave knows who I'm talking about because he lives in our neighborhood, right? You know, that is our them. Life would just be perfect, God, if you got rid of them. Maybe it's an ex-spouse, an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend. Who is that other, that them, that you just say to God, everything's perfect except for them? It's called righteous anger. Don't you love righteous anger? There is nothing more powerful in the world than righteous anger. Right? I deserve to be mad. I deserve to yell. I deserve to be angry. I deserve to be passive aggressive. I deserve not to do my part or show up because of them, because of what they did, because of what they're doing. Our brothers and sisters in Alcoholics Anonymous will tell you, when they start knocking out the thems, they get a whole bag of resentment. And as soon as they get a whole bag of resentment, they're going to start having an emotional hangover. And as soon as they start having these emotional hangovers, before they know it, they're going to be back in the drink or in the drugs, and they're going to have the physical hangovers as well. So our brothers and sisters in 12 Steps have learned to take that exam seriously. And every day when they start figuring out who is the them that has caused them all the problems, they start to ask themselves, what is going on? So did you catch that in the scripture today? It's a miracle piece of spiritual writing. 18 verses of praising God, 5 verses of saying it's all their fault, and then comes the miracle line of the whole scripture. After saying, God, get them, the psalmist says, search me, O God. Search me, O God. Find out what is wicked in me, O God. Find out what is going on inside of me that's making this problem so much bigger than it needs to be. What part am I playing in this, O God? Let's be honest, it's a whole lot easier to pray for them to get fixed than it is to ask God to search us. So if you don't hear anything else I have to say today, hear this. You are free from trying to fix them. You are free from trying to change them. You are free from trying to get them to get it right and get it together. Because the only thing God will change is you. So think about that situation that's got you most stuck. And ask God today, God, what is the one thing that I can do to make this situation different? Our brothers and sisters in 12-step program said what they had to learn was there's only one side of the street they could clean up, and that was theirs. They said what led to their addiction was too much time on other people's side of the street, trying to get them to do things that they thought they had to do, and only when they figured out it was their side of the street that needed to be cleaned up in the first place. Search me, O God. Find out what's going on in me, and put me on a different path. It's about 10 years ago, we had our first grandson for my dad. First baby, 6 months old. We brought him home for Christmas. Casey's first Christmas with his grandpa. I don't know what happened. I still don't know exactly what happened. But suddenly my dad and I don't know what it is with father and son relationships. Anybody else have a little complicated relationship between fathers and sons? My dad and I have a little bit of a complicated relationship. And so here we are with this brand new baby. It's Christmas. It's supposed to be perfect. I don't know, but in the middle of Culver's, we got an argument. I don't even remember what it was about. All I know is before I knew it, we both were mad at each other. And that argument left Culver's and went to our house. And before I knew it, we were not just arguing with each other, we were yelling at each other. We were frustrated with each other. And I think we were saying some things we couldn't take back after we had said it. And it culminated with me taking his new grandson, loading up the car, and driving back in 12 hours to Detroit. Merry Christmas. Relationship. Broken. My wife, we got home, said, "You better call your dad." I'm not calling my dad. He'd call me. This is his fault, you know. He's this, he's that, he's the one who's always. I think you should call him. I'm not calling him. He can call me. You should tell him you're sorry. No, I'm not going to tell him he's sorry until he tells me he's sorry. I met my sponsor, who said to me, for the next 90 days, I just want you to pray about your dad. For 30 days, my prayer went like this. God, do something about my dad. Fix him. Get him to tell me he's sorry. Get him to see the error of his ways. 60 days into that prayer, I started to realize that my dad is doing the best he can. Widowed for 15 years, a broken heart. Still trying to figure out what it means to parent two adult sons. 90 days in, I can pick up the phone. Hey, Dad. It's Jeff. How you been? How about the Packers? Yeah, Casey's good. Bridget's good, too. Yeah, I'll call you again. No Hallmark moment. Nobody confessed that they were the one whose fault it was. But because I allowed God to search me, I was able to stay on my side of the street. My kids know their grandma today. And for that I am grateful. I gave you a card when you walked in today. It's called The Examine. It's an ancient prayer practice about letting God search you. Take it and put it in your wallet. Carry it with you. Put it on your refrigerator. The first step says to relish. Do like I did with the kids. Start with what you are grateful for. So that even on your worst day, you've got 18 verses of all the things that you're thankful for before you get to why you need God to get them. Relish. Request. Request God to enter into the moment with you. Invite the Holy Spirit to join you on this journey. And then do a review. Sit at night and work through the whole day in your mind. Watch what happened and pay attention to those moments where you got stuck. And in those moments where you got stuck, ask God to search you. Ask God to identify the one thing in that situation that maybe you could be do different. And then repent. We have to do a whole sermon someday about that word. Because that word has a bad rap. Because at the end of the heart, what repent means is, God, just put me on a different path than the one I'm walking on. Because this path ain't getting me where I need to be anymore. Turn me in a new direction. And finally, resolve. Resolve to live tomorrow just a little different than you did today. Start to do that every day. And suddenly, the emotional hangover will go away. And you won't waste a day, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime. There's an autobiography that I like by Portia Nelson. It's called An Autobiography in 5 Parts. And she said it like this. One day I walked down the sidewalk. There was a big hole in that sidewalk. I fell in, but it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. They put that hole in the sidewalk. They left it there. I was stuck in the hole and it took me a long time to get out. Chapter 2. I walked down the same street, same big hole in the middle of the sidewalk. I fell in again and it still wasn't my fault. They still haven't fixed it.
still took me a long time to get out of the hole. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street, same big hole in the middle of the sidewalk. This time I see it, but I fall into it again because it's a habit. This time I know it's my fault, and it doesn't take me nearly as long to get out of it. Chapter 4. Walk down the same street, see the same big hole, walk around the hole. Chapter 5. Take a different street. Search me, O God. Find the parts in me that are wounded and hurt. Find the parts in me that are angry and fearful, and help me find a new road to walk down. Because I'm tired of falling in the same dang holes. Lord, help us examine our hearts. Listen. Listen to your children pray.
Sing with me now.
Lord, listen to your children pray.
Go with you. Amen.